Today's reading is from 2 Corinthians. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Liz. Well, it's good to be back this week. Last Sunday, I started the 8 o'clock service and had never had that happen before where I could not get through the morning. And thankfully, Dave was able to step in and preach at this service and at the 10:45. So I am on the mend, but I've still got a bit of a cough and getting better from that. And I know from others who've had whatever this thing is, you don't just get over it real quickly. So it's just good to be back feeling a bit better today. Today's a different kind of message. We're in between series. As Jamelyn announced earlier, starting a week from Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, February the 18th, we're going to begin our Lent series, and I'm really excited about this year's Lent series. We're going to talk about the places that following Jesus took the disciples, surprising places, unexpected places, and these passages, as we've been working on them, lend themselves to great life application today. I think you're going to be surprised how some of these ancient stories have relative value to what we experience every day. So I'm really looking forward to this. I hope you'll be here for Ash Wednesday as we kick it off and officially start the Lent series 2 weeks from today. This morning is going to be a different kind of message, not like a typical sermon, more like a state of the church address. About this time every year, President of the United States is required to go before Congress and give a State of the Union address. On average, a State of the Union address by the president lasts for 50 minutes, on average. And that does not count the interruptions for applause. On average, the president is interrupted 80 times for applause. So if you will keep your applause to a limit, I'll make sure I stick within my time limit. But we do want to cover a lot of territory this morning, and I'm going to try to do that as quickly as I can. I want to begin by sharing some statistical analysis from our end of year in 2014. We do an end of year report at this time of year each year. I want to share some of that. I want to share some other general highlights from this past year, and then two very important updates about the garden and about Sunday morning worship opportunities here at St. Luke's. And then I want to close with a charge to the congregation. So some statistics, some highlights, a couple of important updates, and a charge. So let's jump into some of the highlights of this past year. In our end of year report, we show that we took in 175 new members in St. Luke's this past year. 59 were in our confirmation class. 60 joined by transfer, but 56 of the adults who joined our church were by profession of faith. That means half of the adults, not including confirmation, half of the adults who joined our church this year were by profession of faith, and that would rank us among the highest of United Methodist churches in the country. Now, if that is a time when you wanted to break out into a little applause right there, that's a good one. We removed 104 by transfer and withdrawal, and the majority by death in this past year. Our current membership stands at 6,753, and we performed 83 baptisms this past year. We had a great financial year. Our giving to the operating needs of the church was just at $4.25 million, $4.25 million. Now, this was about $170,000 short of our budget, but our expenses came in under $300,000. So we ended the year on very solid ground financially. Now, this isn't the only way we give to the church. We had a great year in terms of our capital campaign giving. We reduced our debt by $380,000, and that now makes our current indebtedness $1.57 million. Our current debt stands at $1.57 million. And 2015 is the last year of our current Trust God No Matter What campaign. So many people for 5 years have been giving beyond their regular giving to the church to pay down our debt and position us for our next building needs in the future. If you've come into the church in the last 5 years and you want to leave a gift to help pay down that debt, it will go a long way in positioning us well for the future. Now, if you were to add up all of the different types of giving to the church, mission giving, operating budget, the capital campaign, designated funds, our total giving this year was $5.8 million. That's a lot of giving and a lot of financial faithfulness on behalf of the St. Luke's congregation, so congratulations to you. I also want to announce the several new staff members we brought on board this year in our program staff. Patty Case, who is our marketing and communications director. Mindy Moore, the director of college and young adult ministries. Deborah Peek, who is in the choir up here behind me. She is our administrative assistant for New Here Ministries. Laura Maureen is the administrative assistant in adult ministries. Becky Eady, this past fall, came on board as the new director of New Song. And Megan Bowman works with Jamelyn in our outreach ministry. She started as an intern this past summer and is now a permanent member of our staff. That leads us into the celebration of our outreach ministry. Many of our mission and outreach programs this past year just excelled in new ways, particularly the launch of a new food pantry. A lot of work went on in 2014 to prepare us for this very week. We're going to be opening a food pantry at Michigan Road and 71st Street. It's inside of the Picard Health Center located at that intersection. We really owe a lot to several people, Nate Montgomery, Maria Blake, and Steve Claffey, for the significant work they've done in spearheading this effort. $82,000 was raised in December to support the start of the food pantry. And there's going to be, yes, another good applause point. If the president gets to talking too fast, sometimes Congress will just interject those applause points anyway, so jump right in there. We're going to have a soft opening this Wednesday, February the 11th. And if you would like to come, plan to stop by at 3 o'clock this Wednesday. A soft opening, the grand opening, is going to be March the 13th at 10 o'clock, March the 13th. And I'm also going to share briefly some of the advancements we've made in the five areas of our visioning initiative we announced several years ago: reaching younger people, growing in faith, developing our outreach strategy, increasing volunteerism, and improving technology. One of the things we did this past year that was to especially be an expression of reaching younger people was the start of the new 1045 service. Fran Wyatt, our worship leader for that service, has done a great job working with only volunteers to put that service on every week. An all-volunteer corps using many of the musicians right here in St. Luke's, but they have also attracted a number of new musicians into the life of our church. Very appropriate. We also began, at the same time we started the 1045 on March the 9th, the New Here ministry. So each week we lift up these New Here brochures. We encourage people, if they're new, to fill them out. Since we started that, we have had close to 300 people fill out the New Here brochures. And a good many, you just interrupt the president at any time there. A good many of those have come through the 1045 service. Over half of the people who have filled out the New Here brochures have come to a new member class, and three-fourths of that number have joined the church. So this is providing great response with new folks who come. Then very quickly, another important highlight this year is because of special gifts to the church, we have been able to do some important survey and study of people outside of our church in the community, as well as inside. One gift allowed us to hire the Hirons Public Relations firm out of Bloomington. They have done a study of young adults in our community, helping us to understand better the spiritual interests and needs of people in this age group. Now, some of the findings probably are not that surprising to you, especially if you've done any reading in this area, but young adults are most concerned with authenticity and relationship. More important than the quality of worship services or programs, it's authenticity and relationship. This is very interesting. By and large, this age group is equally attracted to traditional worship as well as non-traditional worship. There's not a magic bullet type of worship that reaches this age group. Of folks of this age group will identify themselves as spiritual, not necessarily interested in church. Probably not a big surprise there for many people. And while they're looking for connection with people in their age group, they will also say, we want to get to know people in other age groups. We want to get to know older members of the church. So it's been very helpful for us learning about young adults in our community. Now, another gift allowed us to do some analysis of the needs and the interest of people inside St. Luke's. We've been able to utilize the work of Walker Information, formerly known as Walker Research. And if you've been in St. Luke's for a while, you know that in 2014, we announced every quarter a survey that was being sent electronically to our membership. So a fourth of our members received the survey each quarter. So in December, we completed now the full wave of all the members of the church. Now, we only received back 15% in response. Only 15% of people filled out those surveys online. So if you get that coming up in 2015, if you're a member, you're going to receive it. Just know that when you fill that out, it helps us greatly. Here are some of the things that we found from the survey. Number one, each quarter, we found, by and large, a lot of commitment to the church. A large percentage of people highly committed to St. Luke's. In the last survey that went out in December, of the respondents who attend the 1045 service, we found that about one-third of them are under 40 years old. About one-third are under 40. Of those who responded who attend 8 o'clock, 9:15, that was about 8%. Now, I share that only to say that in our hopes of that 1045 reaching some younger people, it has been effective. Now, it's a very diverse congregation at that hour, but it has been effective doing some of the things that we hoped it would do. The survey also pointed out what I personally have known as I've gotten around and talked to a lot of our members, is that the start of the 1045 has created a lot of disruption in our church. And there is a significant population of St. Lukers who are without a worship option right now. And I'm going to address that more in just a minute. And one last area of note in the survey is recognizing that there are many people who feel disconnected from the church for lots of different reasons. They just feel disconnected. So we're addressing that with two important things in 2015, and the first one is coming next week. Now, if there's going to be an applause point at any moment in this address, I know this is it right here. We are reintroducing pew registration pads starting next week. You even had the woe in there, like the Congress will do sometimes. Each week, we're going to ask you to fill out, if you are a guest or if you're a member, quick information about yourself, so that we can have some kind of data and record of people who are here. Now, what we want to do is quarterly review this information, and when we don't hear from somebody, to find out what's going on and to reach out to our members and provide an extra way to keep up with the people who are a part of St. Luke's. Now, if you want to test us, if you want to test us, and you're coming to worship and you don't sign it, see if you get one of those letters. If you really want to test us, don't miss a Sunday for the rest of this year, starting next week, and sign it every week, and we're going to give out 100% attendance awards at the end of the year, all right? So if you want to know what your prize is going to be, don't miss another Sunday starting next week, and make sure you sign every week. So attendance registration pads are coming, and also, in our area of developing technology, we've made huge headway this year. We've taken advantage of our database system known as ACS, a system designed for churches, which we've had at St. Luke's for a long time. But we are using the new technology that has been developed in this country in this company, to be able to do more with it for tracking information in the church. We're having to update our records. We had almost 40,000 files of people who have gotten into our system at some point across the decades, but we needed to update that, so it's taken a lot of time. Now, there is a new feature of ACS called The City. The City is like social media for the church. Every member of St. Luke's can have their own profile page through our system. You can log in, update your own profile page. If you want to pay electronically, you can control that yourself. Any group that you're a part of, let's say you're in a disciple study group and you're a member of a committee, with one click you can be connected to all of the people who are in your group. If you just want to share information, something that's going on in your life, a prayer concern, there's going to be much more benefit to this, and we're going to have some education opportunities starting with individual groups in the church beginning very soon, but eventually open for all members to create their own profile page in the city, and again, use the technology of the day to help us stay better connected as a church. Now, I want to talk about two important updates that are coming in 2015. And the first one involves the garden. For those who are fairly new to St. Luke's, the garden started in 1995 as a satellite campus of St. Luke's, begun under one of the pastors of the church, Dr. Linda McCoy. The garden meets at the Beef and Boards Theater, and from its very beginning, the commitment of the church has been to provide for all of the salary package of Linda or any pastor appointed to the garden, and in every other respect, the garden remains budget neutral to St. Luke's. Now, this is a very big year for the garden. They celebrate their 20th anniversary in September, and that will also be the retirement of Dr. Linda McCoy. So we've been in conversation about the leadership succession needs for the garden. Now, the garden has been very successful in doing what it set out to do, and that is to reach people who do not have a spiritual home and might not be interested in being a part of a large, traditional feeling church. Because of that success, they have evolved as a community with very distinct structure, programming, and theology. Now, those distinctions are very critical in understanding what the future needs of a leader will be. So members of the Garden leadership team, meeting with members of the governing board of St. Luke's, along with the bishop, have been working on this for over a year. One of the things that's been clear to this group is that continuing just the way it is right now is not a healthy option. Over the two decades, as the garden has developed, it has remained a part of St. Luke's, but also a very separate from it. And it's been understood that a new pastor who has no history with St. Luke's would be at somewhat of a disadvantage in expectation of reporting to St. Luke's, being connected to St. Luke's, but also leading what is a very distinct group. It has led many of the leaders of the garden to ask the question, is it time for the garden to become its own church? So the two considerations are for the garden to remain a part of St. Luke's, but with greater alignment. To remain a part, but with greater alignment. Or to become their own independent congregation. We have asked that all of the constituents of the garden be included in that decision. So it's being announced at the garden today that for the next couple of weeks, people who are a part of the garden, who regularly attend, are being asked to give their preference to continue to be a part of St. Luke's and look at ways there can be greater alignment in our doing of ministry together, or if they feel led to be their own church and to be free to work with the bishop in identifying a pastor who would be appointed there. And then we would talk about a period of time that we support the garden in its becoming independent. The number one concern of the St. Luke's Governing Board has been for the welfare of the garden. Our number one concern has been what is going to make the garden successful for this next important chapter of its history. So that's going to be happening over the next few weeks, and we're going to keep you updated about what the survey shows from the garden and any of the developments that will be taking place. Now, the other important update I need to share with you involves the matter I brought up regarding worship. As I mentioned, with the advent of the 10:45 and the change of what had been the traditional service at 11 o'clock, we've realized the impact on a significant percentage of people in St. Luke's. Many folks did what I asked them to do standing here a year ago, which was to attend the new 10:45 and give it a try before you make a permanent decision. And I just want to thank the folks who did just that. They gave that service a try. Some now worship at this service, but there are many who are just not able to be here at 9:15 and have not had a worship service to attend since we started that. So I'm excited to announce today that starting Easter Sunday, April the 5th, we will again be offering a traditional worship service at 11 o'clock in Robertson Chapel each week. Thank you. We also are going to adjust the start of the 10:45 service to the same hour, 11 o'clock. One of the things we've learned in doing this service is 30 minutes is a tight window every week to set up after this service to start that one on time. That extra 15 minutes will help that service. So beginning April 5th, we will offer concurrently worship services here, the contemporary at 11, and a traditional service in Robertson Chapel. There will be a pastor leading the service at 11 in Robertson. There will be a choir leading music in the service, and the sermon I'm really coming back to you guys in a minute, so you'll get another shot too. The sermon will be a video message of this service. So I'll be in a robe, and it will fit the traditional service and the chapel. And many folks who attended last year's Easter service say that a few minutes into the sermon, they weren't even conscious of looking at a video screen. It felt very natural. So we're building on that success, and that will be the format. Mark and I have talked with the choir, and we're going to look at different ways so that the choir can serve that service but not get worn out in the process, maybe even having rotation teams. But Mark and I said to these folks, we need you, and they have stepped up and said, we will be there. And I am thankful for the choir. Now, you may appreciate a question and answer opportunity about this. And Dr. Adolf Hansen is going to be available after this service at 10:30 in Robertson Chapel to just lead a conversation time. He's going to do it today and for the next two Sundays, February 15th and the 22nd. So if you would appreciate a moment or two to ask some more questions and get some more input, Adolf will be in Robertson Chapel after this service at 10:30. All right, that's a lot of information for us for today. Celebrating our year, talking about some important things that are coming up this year. So let me wind up the message by going back to a statement we heard in the scripture reading this morning. Paul said in Corinthians, for we do not proclaim ourselves, but proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. Paul's favorite designation for members of the church was that term, slave or servant of Christ. And he's particularly describing an expression of servanthood. We sort of lose that in our modern translations, and we lump it into a general category of servant or slave. But Paul was talking about a particular form, the kind of slave who powered a ship. That expression would have been understood in Corinth. Corinth was one of the leading import cities of the Mediterranean world. There were ships in and out of the city every day, and people understood most of them were powered by slaves who were down below the deck, rowing in unison with other servants, powering the ship. How many of you have seen the movie Ben-Hur? If you've seen the movie, you probably have that image in mind where the slaves sit on benches. They're chained to each other with a person beating out a cadence so that they all row in unison. Why would Paul say that's what it means to be a member of the church? Because Paul is saying that when you're down below deck rowing the ship, that means you're not upstairs trying to steer it. When you're busy making the church go, you can't have your hands on the wheel steering its direction. You sort of give that up. You say, I'm okay without having my hands on the driving wheel. I'm going to make this thing go. When you're a servant like Paul describes, it means that you not only make it okay to serve and work, but you say, I'm going to do it in coordination with other people. Not just when I want to do it, the way I want to do it, in my own pace. I've got to do this thing in rhythm with the people who are around me. And if I'm a servant, I'm okay without standing on deck getting attention. I get enough reward knowing I have a hand in making the ship go. Paul uses that distinction to say, not only does that make the church really go, but it makes our own lives go well as well. There's a story about a man who had serious back surgery and he was in traction. After the surgery, he was carefully put in his hospital bed. He had limited movement All he could do was stare up at a blank ceiling. There was a man in the bed next to him he could not see. There was a curtain between them. All he knew was the man had something serious. But they could talk to each other. And one day, the man's looking at the ceiling, bemoaning the fact that there's nothing to look at if he just had something to look at. And the other man said, "Well, you know, I've got a window next to my bed. Let me tell you what I see." He said, "Would you do that?" He said, "I'm looking out at a park. There are children playing. The grass is green. The clouds are fluffy white." He's describing the trees and the buildings in the distance. Each day, he would describe the different colors of light, the different appearance of the outdoors. It wasn't always the same scene. He seemed to bring it to life in a new way. And one day, the man in traction started to get resentful. "Why did he get that bed? Why don't I get to have a window to look at? Why should somebody else have an advantage over me?" And one night, the man by the window died. The next morning, the nurses had already cleared his belongings, remade the bed, ready for the next patient, and this man wasted no time. He asked to be moved to that bed. So they carefully moved him, got him situated, and as soon as they left, he took out his cane to pull back the curtain to enjoy the view for himself. And imagine how surprised he was when all he could see was a brick wall. The other man never could see those things, but he imagined it to try to lift up this bedmate. He spent his last days simply trying to encourage another. Paul says, there's nothing like the church when it's at its finest. There's nothing like the church when it's full of servants who just say, "Oh, sure, it'd be nice to steer the ship and to get where I want to go. Sure, it'd be nice to get a lot of attention for the things that I do. But you know, at the end of the day, just put me below deck. I'll row with everybody else. And I'll just take pride in knowing I've had a hand in making this thing go." Paul says that's what God uses to change the world. Let us pray. Oh, gracious and loving God, we thank you for a year now complete, full of evidence of your hand at work in a faithful community. We thank you for a new year already afoot, for the great things going on, like the opening of a food pantry, ministries that are touching people's lives, and the call for the church to be servants of Christ, knowing that as we look for ways to give up our preferences, to give up our resources, you use such sacrifice to bring life and hope to others. So may this be the grandest year yet. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you.